thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed.
Hello everyone, I'm John McTernan. Just hang on here for a moment, folks, and we'll get the scriptures to open with. All right, here we go. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night prophecy update night. Prophecy update with events, folks, that are crucial to the hour we live in, for the nation and for Israel, because Israel is God's timepiece. Matthew 21:47, speaking of the Jews, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So we have that time there, folks. The Jews are back in the land. Israel's a nation. The first battle of, they speak Hebrew, shekels for money. And the first battle over Jerusalem's before us. This war that's going on there now, the start of it was the Jews going up onto the Temple Mount and, quote, defiling the Aleksu Mosque, because Islam considers them apes and pigs. So let's take a look over and see who's here. And we got Dave Hauser here. Hello, Dave.
Well, shalom and Maranatha, John.
Well, shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
And are you all ready for 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, starting at verse 51?
All set. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. I like that. That whole teaching there is about the rapture. And at the very end, it says about working for the Lord in context of the rapture. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Well, there's all sorts of things going on, Dave. Not real hot in the war, but politically and diplomatically and socially and all, things are really stirring about Israel now. So we got a lot of things that we can talk about, but one of them is that it seems like Iran and North Korea are kind of palled up working together, Dave.
Well, yeah, we've been talking about the fact that Iran is racing toward getting a nuclear weapon. Now, North Korea already has nuclear weapons. Occasionally, they do nuclear tests. They have, I think, intercontinental ballistic missiles. So they have all the technology that Iran needs to build a nuclear weapon. Iran has an industrial nuclear complex with advanced centrifuges, and they probably already have enough uranium to make multiple bombs. So now, I think, John, you have a little article, a short article we could talk about?
Yeah. Let me get to this article, Dave.
Sure.
Hang on here. Okay. Iran building nuclear designed... Wait. Iran building North Korean designed nuclear missiles capable of hitting Europe. Now, why did I say capable of hitting Europe? Because their big, what do you want to call it, Dave? Their big interest is not Europe. It's Israel.
Right.
All right. So... let me, I can't read it and show pictures. Oh, pictures, Dave. I can get them that you wanted to show at the end. Iran is secretly developing nuclear missiles that can reach Europe based on North Korean designs, according to a new report. The National Council of Resistance of Iran, NCRI, has accused Tehran of expediting its nuclear weapons program. The two facilities rushing to complete a working warhead capable of traveling more than 1,800 miles, according to their latest report. The NCRI, that's the resistance group in Iran, said Tehran is desperately working to keep the international community out of Iran and maintain the status quo as a means to buy time to fulfill its nuclear ambitions. Now, Dave, I'm going to ask you a tough question. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
Do you think Israel is aware of this?
Oh, I think they follow the news. And not only that, but they probably know exactly where Iran's nuclear sites
are. Right, right. So all this stuff here about Iran and its rushing to do this, and all of that, and it's working. It's working with North Korea. I mean, Israel must have its finger on the trigger, Dave.
I would think so, John. Israel, through the years, has basically adamantly said that they can't allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. President Trump recently said it too, but I don't think our friends the Iranians get it, because it's in how can we say, a theological goal for them to vaporize Israel. Israel has to do something. And the thing that could happen, John, this could start, you know, the wars we've been talking about. Something that could happen, Iran could shut down the Strait of Hormuz, all the oil coming through, 20 or 30% of the world's oil. It could cause global economic chaos. And, you know, it could be like tomorrow morning. We don't know. And it, to me, it's shocking that Israel has let it go so far. They know exactly what's going on, but it just, to me, it's kind of like unusual that they let it get this far. And, you know, a simple situation, North Korea already has nuclear weapons. They could, you know, move one from North Korea over to Iran, then they'd have nuclear weapons. So I'm just kind of shocked that they're waiting so long, you know, John?
I don't even consider it, Dave. I mean, maybe the United States is won't let him do it for whatever reason. I don't know, Dave. Politically, maybe it's not. Israel's a divided country, and so I don't know. I mean, this has been going on for years, and Israel certainly knows everything that's going on in Iran, Dave.
Well, the one thing that happened recently, the fall of Syria, Assad, then Israel took quite a few weeks and basically destroyed Syria's air defenses. And then even before that, they destroyed Iran's air defenses, most of them. So Israel has a clear path to go right across Syria into Iran and take out these nuclear sites. So we're going to have to wait and see, John. But one day we're going to wake up and that's going to be the headline.
Now, President Trump said something very interesting, Dave. I don't know if you heard it or you picked up on it. Excuse me. But he said he wanted to come up with another method than obliterating Iran. Did you hear him say that?
Did he say something specific or
Yeah,
just a
he was talking.
concept?
Well, I no. He said exactly like I said.
Right.
We want to do something different than or attempt to do something different than obliterating Iran. So he was telling Iran that you're going to be obliterated. And he's holding an olive leaf out, like, why don't you
Right.
work with us? So Iran's response was, no, there's nothing that we can agree on.
Right.
But the thing is, he said obliterate Iran.
Oh, right, sure.
So, I don't think that when Israel gets through with Iran, I don't think there's going to be much left, Dave.
Right. President Trump also said that if Iran attempts to kill him, that's also going to be the action that they're going to take. If Iran attempts to assassinate him.
Right. They're going to obliterate Iran. So at one point, it's a little quiet over there now, Dave. But on the other side, look, maybe we can work something out that we're not going to obliterate you. You know what I mean? And
Right.
maybe if you try and harm me, we're going to obliterate you. So that's pretty tough language. Obliterate. Somewhere up the line, because Iran is not going to, I'd be shocked if Iran said, okay, we're going to disarm and we're going to get rid of all our nuclear weapons and all of this. So they're not going to do that. So there's going to be a massive attack on Iran. Massive. So is Iran going to respond by closing the Gulf of Hormuz thing? Yeah,
It's possible, John.
the
And
Persian Gulf or the
it's fair to say if
Strait
that
of
does
Hormuz.
happen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's I said Gulf, it's Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, Strait of Hormuz. It's very, very narrow, John. Even though it's only about 2 miles, oil tankers going one way and heading north and heading south. It's very narrow, very easy to shut down. Insurance rates would go through the roof. But I think it's 20% of the world's oil comes through there. And the entire planet would blame Israel. They'd get aggravated at Israel, even though Israel's trying to defend itself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's one of the latest developments, folks, is North Korea and Iran are buddies here, and North Korea is helping Iran. It doesn't say building a nuclear weapon. It says with the missile that can carry the nuclear weapon. That's what North Korea's function in this thing.
Well, they already have the plans to fabricate a nuclear warhead. So maybe they're not talking about it, but that could be part of the plan, obviously.
All right. Now we've got a whole other bunch of items to look at. I'll just take them, Dave, in the order that I posted them. They're not in any particular order. It's just I
Okay.
came across the information. Now, US Aid, that organization there that has been shut down, and it's got like $40 billion budget, and it's promoting every wickedness you could think of in the world. All right, here's the headline. USAID sent over $18 billion to Islamic terrorist states. Quote, USAID boasted of having sent $2.1 billion to Gaza and the West Bank since Hamas attacks on October 7th. Wow. Dave, $2.1 billion to these groups that want to obliterate Israel. In 2024 alone, $917 million was programmed for the terrorist areas occupying Israel. USAID provided for over $3.7 billion to Afghanistan since the Taliban took over. I mean, that's like incredible. They're giving it to the Taliban. The money was so unaccountable that USAID refused to cooperate with the U.S. government's Afghan war watchdog, tracking money going to terrorists. Even while the United States of America was at war with the Houthis, the Iran-backed Islamic organization group firing on U.S. Vessels, USAID continued to direct billions of dollars to Yemen. In 2024, USAID announced $2.7 billion aid requests for Yemen and allotted $753 million. In the last 5 years, USAID provided an estimate $3.4 billion aid to enemy terror states. Well, Dave, what's your reaction to that?
Well, John, you just made my blood pressure go up. To say that's insane is being way, way too kind. The people that authorized that should be in jail for life because they are funding people that want to kill, you know, Jewish people. They're attacking our ships in the Red Sea. To say it's insanity, and it's funny, I saw President Trump's new secretary, Public Relations Secretary, give like a little overview of some of the stuff. They were spending money on transgender plays, some insane stuff. She gave a list of about three or four things that you can't even comprehend, that we're paying taxes, giving it to these lobotomized political morons, and they're using it for satanic purposes. They're insane. Totally insane.
They are. Dave, I feel better now, but when that all broke, I felt like unclean, ashamed of the country, and I felt we were a precursor to the Whore of Babylon with all these things they were promoting all over the world. I mean, bizarre.
John, yep,
I heard there was stuff in Guatemala. They were giving this stuff to Guatemala and Laos and Pakistan, and it was like bizarre. Anywhere a country would open up for them, for transgendered, they were shipping millions of dollars over there. But that's all been shut off now. So I feel better. But Dave, I was like, we felt unclean when all this stuff broke out.
Yeah. John, if you could get a board of directors and intelligent people and sit them down at a nice, you know, long table and hypothetically come up with the most insane possible things to use for taxpayer dollars, the most intelligent people on planet Earth couldn't come up with anything as insane as what they were doing. Insane.
Yeah.
Beyond insane.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, hypothetically, you can come up with anything so stupid.
All right. Now, here's one of the reasons behind it. Senate Democrat, if USAID doesn't keep spending money to terrorists, Americans will be unsafe. Senator Chris Coons, former bearded Marxist, taking his best shot at it in the paper of big government. I don't understand that. I think Politico. Trump's attack on USAID is an assault on American safety. Coons claims that USAID programs, like all our foreign assistance, play a central role in combating extremism, promoting stability, and protecting our homeland. The reality is USAID is sending $600 million to Pakistan, $3.5 $7 billion to Afghanistan, and after the Taliban takeover, $2 billion, to the PLO, $3.4 billion. So here's the thing. Those are bribes, Dave, you know, that we will be unsafe here, because that money, all those billions of dollars, is we're paying like tribute to the Muslim terrorists so they don't attack us. How's that, Dave?
Wonderful idea, John. And, you know, talking about Afghanistan, it wasn't enough that the Biden
right.
administration left,
right.
from what I understand, $85 billion worth of U.S. military material,
right.
left it, you know, with the Taliban. That's another brilliant idea.
Well, all that money to the Taliban, $2 billion, that was icing on the cake, Dave. That $2 billion you spread on top of that $85 billion, and that was icing on the cake. Now, I just want to throw in here a little bit about American history. After we gained our independence, the British weren't protecting our ships in the Mediterranean. So they're called the Barbary Pirates would seize our ships, and they would take the crew and make slaves out of them and all of that. So we had a problem with that. And they wanted us to pay bribes to them. So President Jefferson made a famous statement, and I'm not prepared to quote it now, but it's like, not a penny for tribute, but a dollar for war, something like that. And we built five world-class frigates, and that was to attack the Barbary pirates. And that's where we get the Marine hymn, from the shores of Montezuma to the halls of Tripoli. And Tripoli is the Barbary pirates in North Africa. So rather than pay tribute to them, which Biden did, we went to war with them and eliminated the problem. Actually, there was like three wars with them, but we eliminated the problem. So I'm thinking of back 1803, 1804, and fighting the Barbary pirates, and here we are in 220 years later, and we're giving them billions of dollars, Dave. Billions. I mean, billions of dollars is thrown around here for these Muslims in the Middle East, these Muslim terrorists, like it's chump change, Dave. You know? Hey, 5 billion here, 6 billion over here, a billion and a half here, you know. It's amazing. It's really amazing. But we know one of the reasons behind it is to keep the terrorists from attacking us. But I guarantee you, Dave, those Democrats, if they give $1 billion to the terrorists, they get a cut of like 10% back. So instead of them getting $1 billion, they'll get $900 million. And that other $100 million comes back to the Democrats to divvy up amongst themselves. What do you think?
Well, they should all be thrown in jail, John. Very simple. Because isn't it a crime to support terrorism?
Yes.
I think
absolutely.
That's pretty simple.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, you got terrorists. Who knows how much they paid Iran? I know Biden and Obama sent airplane loads full of cash. I remember seeing it, Dave. Do you remember? They had those wooden...
Pallets,
and they were piled up with cash. They had the cash all bundled up on top. There was like $7 billion in cash, I think it was. I don't want to exaggerate. I'm not sure. But something like $7 billion Iran got in cash, Dave.
Yeah.
So Israel's fighting for its life, and we're against Iran, and we're giving Iran, like, I'll say $5 billion in cash. That's chump change. They have to spread out in the streets and all. There you go. Netanyahu had the meeting with President Trump, and this is what he said. Well, here's the headline. Trump is greatest friend Israel has ever had, Netanyahu says in exclusive interview. Netanyahu spoke to host Mark Levin of the Life, Liberty, and Levin show, telling him that Trump is making tremendous change in Israeli-American alliance strengthening it beyond anything we've seen up to now. Netanyahu called Trump a great leader for America and the world. He added that Israel He added that Israel has no greater friend than America, especially under President Trump's leadership, and that likewise America has no greater friend than Israel. Isn't that nice, Dave?
Amen, John. Well, he moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. He basically let Israel kind of annex the Golan Heights to protect them. And just recently, the previous administration, the Biden administration, was restricting arms to Israel. President Trump basically had given them everything that they need. So he has Israel's back, which is a blessing.
There's even a section of the Golan Heights that they named Trump, like Trumpville, right, or something like that. All right. Mike Huckabee, who he's not the ambassador yet. He's waiting for to be appointed or no, he was appointed. He's waiting to be passed by the Senate to be the ambassador. This is an article by Mike Huckabee. We will see something of biblical proportions happening with Trump's leadership in the Middle East. And he was talking about what's going on in Gaza. And he said what Trump's thinking was revolutionary, where he's thinking about setting Gaza up like, I think he said Singapore. Was it Singapore, he said? Yeah, Singapore. And he said Gaza could have been Singapore. Instead, Hamas turned it into Haiti. And in fact, maybe worse, far worse than that. So let's hope the people will listen to President Trump. The only time we've had a real significant peace in that region was 4 years ago that Donald Trump was president. And I'm very optimistic that with his leadership, his bold and initiative thinking, he doesn't think like the other politicians and diplomats have thought. And thank God he doesn't, because we get results. So right now, Dave, there's kind of everybody kind of laughed at first, but some nations are starting to line up behind the idea of turning Gaza into like Singapore and making it like a resort and make it business friendly and all. And the problem is, what do you do with the Palestinians there? What do you do with Hamas there? So
yeah, you can't have them left in power.
Yeah, you can't have them there. So there's talk about Morocco taking some, Saudi Arabia taking some, Egypt taking some, not Jordan. Jordan doesn't want any of them, because Jordan is on thin ice right now with so many Palestinians there. So Dave, I don't know what to say. I think it's a good idea as long as we don't, like, Israel doesn't sell the land to us, or something like that. America does not want to own that land. That's covenant land, Dave, that belongs to Israel. What do you think?
Exactly, John. We don't want to divide the land.
Right.
It's a very complex situation.
Yes.
It was very strange watching a few hundred thousand Palestinians marching along the coast, along that that road that was right on the Mediterranean, marching from the south to the north to basically, it looked like bombed out Berlin. There's no electricity, no water, no food, no stores, no hospitals, nothing. And there's not even a tent city for them to, hang out in. So, to me, them going north was totally insane. The whole place is decimated. There's nothing left. It's just a pile of rubble. So very difficult situation. And, you know, Egypt, I don't think, even though we have, influence with Egypt and Jordan, those are the two countries that they were mentioned. Mark Rubio, I just read an article, basically said that the plan is complicated. He's saying that it may just be temporary, that they may be able to move back. So it's very complicated. It's a toss of the dice. but it's going to take a long, long time. Some people say 10 years, some people say 15 years to rebuild. The current administration says we're not paying for it. Let, you know, Saudi Arabia or somebody else pay for it. But it's going to take an awful long time. And if these people are relocated to other countries, hopefully they won't want to go back, which would be a good thing.
Dave, they won't be relocated for 6 weeks or 6 months.
Oh, yeah. 10 to 15 years.
Right, right. So that's like, you know, they're not coming back.
Right, sure.
Now the problem with Hamas is it's an offspring of, it's called the Muslim Brotherhood, which was founded in 1924 in Egypt. And their goal is world jihad and to control the world from Jerusalem. So Egypt is not enthused about taking thousands, 10,000 or 15,000 jihadists in there, that the government of Egypt is not legitimate to them. It should be a caliphate. You know, it should be run like Mohammed would run it, not as a government, or he would be the government. So they're not happy, Dave. That none of those Middle East countries are happy about the Palestinians. They're time bombs as far as they're concerned. Now, you mentioned Egypt, and here's the story about Egypt. Egypt's large military presence in Sinai continues to raise questions. So Israel has had a treaty with Egypt going back to, I think it's 1984, Greg. No, 1984. The Camp David Peace Accords. You remember that, Dave? With Anwar Sadat?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of that agreement is the Israeli military won't be in Gaza. And especially that Philadelphia corridor there, which is the corridor between Gaza and Egypt. So the many people now, many, what would you call it, Middle East pundits, they're starting to get concerned about Egypt because Egypt is basically transferring its entire army over into the Sinai. And why are they doing that? I mean, Israel has no intention of attacking them. So the Egyptians are upset about what Israel's doing, and they transferred their whole, not, I won't say their whole, but piecemeal, they're transferring their army over to the Sinai. Right now, it doesn't appear to be any type of, you know, war breaking out tomorrow, but it is possible, Dave, from what I'm reading here about what's going on in the Middle East. Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, exactly like you said, John. It's a very difficult situation. You mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And see, Hamas is a concept. You know, I realize it's a fighting organization. There was videos of the hostage release, you know, that's been going on. And they put the hostages up on a stage, and they have, you know, maybe 10 Hamas guys, you know, with masks and the green scarves on their heads with machine guns, you know, making it look like they're real tough, even though the whole place is blown to bits and most of them are dead. I think, I don't know the exact amount, but supposedly they've already, had about another quite a few thousand people want to volunteer and join Hamas. So there is no solution with this, John, because it's a theological problem, and they just want to dominate, you know, they want to get back to Jerusalem, the Alaska deluge. They want to be martyrs, you know, they don't care. You know, they just want to, if they kill one Jewish person, it's victory. They think it's a great idea. They think they won this war, even though from, if you look down at Gaza from a satellite, it looks like it was hit by an atomic bomb.
Dave, that doesn't matter because 1,000 Zionists were killed in this war.
Doesn't right, exactly.
It's in the eyes of the beholder who won. Now, if Hamas doesn't exist anymore, and the all their fighters have been killed and half the population has been decimated, then, maybe then, they would concede they lost. But right now, no, they kill so many Zionists, it's like joyful to them, Dave. The Muslims that die are martyrs. That's how they rationalize it. They're martyrs. Let me read this to you. This is a paragraph here about Israel's presence or Egypt's presence in the Sinai. Citing the Beirut-based Hezbollah-aligned Al-Aqba newspaper, said Egyptian sources revealed that Cairo conveyed an explicit warning to Israel in the military coordination meetings that they continued, stay off IDF forces, that continued, and there's something wrong here. It's a word that's wrong. Anyways, I know what it's saying. Of IDF forces in the Philadelphia corridor on Gaza's border with Egypt would be considered a violation of the Camp David peace agreement between Israel and Egypt, and that Egypt would not be obliged to the agreement and the ongoing coordinating regarding the situation of its forces on the border. So there you go then. And as far as I'm concerned, Israel has to keep it disarmed there or has to keep its presence. The Philadelphia, as it's called, the corridor, folks, is the strip of land right at the border between South Gaza and Egypt. I don't know how wide it is. It may be 10 miles wide. 10 miles wide and long, however long Gaza is, which isn't much. So that's where the main source of all the supplies for Hamas got through. It came through the Egyptian border, whether, guards were bribed or they brought it in through tunnels. So Israel doesn't want to give that up because they'll be back to Hamas rearming, Dave. So that's why.
Exactly, John.
Yeah. All right. So there's another thorny issue here. Khomeini rejects idea of negotiating with U.S., no problem will be solved. Now, that's in reaction to Trump saying there must be some way we can kind of deal with Iran without obliterating. So they're giving Iran, like, look, you're about to be obliterated. Why don't we sit down and talk? So this is the reaction. Any comment there?
Well, John, like you said, there is no solution to this. And Israel has to stay in the Philadelphia corridor because that's the only way that Hamas can rearm. And Egypt doesn't even like the fact that they're there. It's a mess, John. It's a total mess. The only solution is the second coming. Jesus will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem and ruling with a rod of iron.
Yes.
That's the only solution. And that's down the road.
Yes. Now, the Speaker of the House said ironclad U.S. support for Israel. Standing outside the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the House Speaker Mike Johnson pledged ironclad support for the Jewish state on Friday. As Prime Minister Netanyahu said Tuesday at the White House, when our enemies see daylight between Israel and the U.S., they will exploit it. That's absolutely true. They never would have pulled off October 7th, except Biden was president. Johnson said, following a closed-door meeting with Prime Minister, we all know that it's true, and that's why strong, decisive leadership is so crucial at this time. Well, Israel's got that strong leadership now, ironclad with the U.S., Dave.
Well, that's a good thing, John. And, obviously we've been following what the Trump administration has been doing. The people that they've put in the government administration, a lot of them are evangelical Christians, and they've made quite a few decisions that are biblically correct diametrically opposed to the satanic democratic agenda. And the liberals in the United States, they're going to need some medication, John, because their heads are exploding.
Oh, Dave, absolutely. Oh, I want to switch over to that. My, their heads are exploding. Let me see if I can get the article. Bill Gates, Judge Stuns, Trump, directs. Okay. Doctor says Democrats suffering real crisis after Trump's win. Depression, insomnia, grief, genuine fear, panic. Burnett is this a doctor who spoke with journalist Mark Halperin Thursday night, disclosed many of his Democrat patients are experiencing a number of severe mental health issues due to former Vice President Kamala Harris being defeated. We are dealing with depression, anxiety, all kinds of medical problems that are related to that, like insomnia, chest pain, chest pressure, he told Halperin. And then people are that there are some genuine fear and panic. I think a lot of it has to do with Donald Trump and the fears what he's going to do or what's happening in the country, he said. There you go, Dave. And part of that has to do with Israel. You know, the real Israeli haters, I mean, they're going crazy over this. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, well, like you said, John, they're not very happy. Donald Trump's agenda and the current administration is diametrically opposed to what the Democrats wanted to do, you know. And, you know, like we mentioned the U.S. aid program, they did the transgender males cannot participate in women's sports. The Democrats say, hey, you know, he's a girl. He can participate. They are insane, John. They're not only stupid, they're insane.
Dave, you know, I know we're a little off base here on the Democrats right now, but from our perspective, which is the rational perspective, who's the stupid one? The one that doesn't know what a woman is, or the one that knows that there's only a man and a woman? And a woman is a mature female. So who's the
exactly,
stupid,
John.
Who's the stupid one, Dave?
Yeah. It's very obvious, John, very obvious. You know, when you think about it, for a male to transition and want to participate in women's sports, whether it's wrestling, swimming, men are, you know, biologically different. They're stronger. It's that simple. They're built different. You know, they're not available to have babies. They're completely different. So it's just, you know, it's sad, John, very sad. But now the current administration is correcting stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, and they're losing their minds. Oh, my goodness. Oh, in one day, the Lord cleared this all up. I mean, amazing, amazing, incredible. All right. Trump vows to sanction International Criminal Court with executive order after Senate Democrats blocked bill targeting ICC for witch hunts against U.S. and Israel. All right. So the ICC, International Criminal Court, is claiming that Netanyahu is committing genocide in Gaza. And that they really want to get us too. They really want to get like U.S. troops in Afghanistan and that. So we tried to pass a law defending ourselves against the ICC, which the Democrats wouldn't go along with. So here's what Trump did. This development follows the ICC's issuance of arrest warrants in November 2024 for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Gallant. According to them, of the war crimes during Israel's military operations in Gaza, the ICC alleges that Netanyahu and Gallant employed starvation as a method of warfare by restricting humanitarian aid and intentionally targeting civilians, charges that Israel officials have vehemently denied, leaving them as false and anti-Semitic. So we know that Hamas was doing this. Hamas was blocking the supplies as they came in, and then they were using it on the black market. And the ones pushing this was like South Africa, and I don't know what other countries, but South Africa was a big one where they literally, they hate Israel as much as Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran. So what we're going to do now through his presidential, I can't think of the word, pardon was in my mind, through the executive order, he's going to cut off everything we can for the ICC, which I think is great, Dave. I think it's absolutely great. Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, John. The ICC basically said that Netanyahu and the top military commander were basically, Gallant, were committing genocide. Now, the war's been going on for a long time, okay? There's, I think, 2 million Palestinians, and it's documented that Hamas had their headquarters in the bottom of hospitals, in the bottom of mosques, at UN facilities, and it's very simple. If Israel, if their goal was to commit genocide, in less than a week, there would not be one Palestinian left in Gaza. That would be genocide. They'd kill them all. If that was their goal, if you're saying they, you know, they wanted to commit genocide, well, they didn't do a very good job, because in a week they could have killed everybody. So how could you say they wanted to commit genocide if it's documented that Hamas is hiding, you know, under all these
You know, facilities? Care. They didn't care. So right. They just wanted to get Israel. All right, two more articles. Will Turkey create a Sunni Muslim crescent in the Middle East? My answer is yes. Erdogan and his supporters' statements about the liberation of Palestine have also caused great concern in Jerusalem. Conversely, Turks consider Israel's attitude towards Turkey as a threat, including Israel's talk of strengthening relations with Greece and Cyprus. Turks are afraid that Israel is building an international coalition against them. Yet even while political relations between the two countries dipped, the Turkish and Israeli militaries and their intelligence communities have kept cordial, if not close, relations. And certainly Israel's businesses yearn for the return to Israeli tourists, which will bring back lost revenue. All right. So the thing is, Turkey wants the Ottoman Empire reborn. And now that Iran is not controlling Syria, Turkey can now, because Turkey and Syria are Sunni Muslims, so they can work together. So, Dave, when things get straightened out in Syria, I think for sure you're going to see really big stuff happening between Syria and Turkey, Dave. It's just too natural. You know,
right, sure.
It's a natural marriage there.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, they're not happy, obviously, with what Israel's doing. And Erdogan basically called for the assassination of Netanyahu, all sorts of nasty comments about Israel, and they want to revive the Ottoman Empire, which would include, obviously, domination of Jerusalem.
Yeah, they all want Jerusalem as the capital of their empires, right, Dave?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Mecca?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, theologically, that's more important. Jerusalem's not really mentioned very often.
No, it's not mentioned in the Quran at all.
There you go.
Yet, all of a sudden, it's very important to them. Excuse me. Not a word about Mecca. Not a word. They just want Jerusalem. Dave, it's exactly like the Bible talks about Jerusalem, the burdensome stone. All right, here's an article from Muslim, a newspaper, I don't know which one. Headline, Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem, Alaska flood achieved its goal. Israel failed to destroy Hamas and Hezbollah. Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon should not be delayed. Resistance will act at time and in a manner it sees fit. So that's their mentality, Dave. Hezbollah has been absolutely crippled. Hamas has been absolutely crippled. And they've thousands and tens of thousands of their fighters have been killed. But they look at it as a victory because Israel didn't kill them, destroy them. So this is from the article. Referring to recent incidents in the Gaza Strip, Qassem described them as victory for the Palestinian people and all the peoples of the region, saying, the goal of the Alexa flood was achieved, and Israel's project to destroy the resistance and Hamas was defeated. He said that the aggression directed at Gaza and Lebanon was an unrestrained act of hostility backed by the U.S. and the West, and that the U.S. and Israel wanted to destroy the resistance, but it faced them with legendary resolve and martyrdom-driven determination. So knowing, I've learned the Muslim mentality by interacting with them a huge amount of time, and that's how they think. If you let your opponent, if you're in a war with your opponent and you don't completely destroy them, that's a sign of weakness. And that's a sign that Allah is giving them favor. So by Israel not finishing off Hamas, and it's political. I mean, you've got the people at home. They want the hostages. They want the hostages. They don't care about, the war continuing and all. They're just hostages. So now we're at the situation where they're shouting victory because the Zionists didn't destroy all of Hamas. They didn't destroy all of Hezbollah, Dave. So that encourages them to fight because Allah's with them. Do you understand that, Dave?
Oh, exactly, John. And like you said, the ratio, basically what Israel did to Hamas, for them to consider it a victory is pretty sad, John. Like I said, we talk about the drone footage of Gaza. There's nothing left. So, like I said, they're theologically lobotomized.
Yeah, well, their reasoning is everyone that's killed and what happens to the people, that's all martyrdom. That's martyrdom, Dave.
Right.
You know, if 20,000 of their fighters die and another 10,000 are wounded and all of their weapons or a vast majority of their weapons are destroyed, their missiles are destroyed, the leadership is destroyed. Well, but the Zionists didn't. We still exist, so therefore Allah was with us, and we that's a victory. Amazing, Dave. Amazing. Well, it looks like we ran out of time here, Dave. Some of the headlines we didn't get to. Israel shall produce its own armaments. Iran's Revolutionary Guards unveil new underground missile city. That's about it, Dave. We got about just through everything. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, good.
All right. So, Dave, what's the update?
Well, John, you have those. I sent you over two emails from pastors in Kenya. You have pictures. There was one really, really good pictures of people with the broken hearted track. And then there was another email with another pastor. Do you have those that we could show everybody?
Yeah, you go ahead and talk.
Sure. Well, as usual, this week we were bombarded with requests from Kenya. I don't normally keep track. I think just on Friday, the one day, we got 19 requests just in one day. So I spend a lot of time talking to the pastors, apologizing that we can't ship right now. The good news is that about a week ago, we did get enough funds to run the shipping department for a week. So we were able to ship some stuff, which is a real blessing. But as of the moment, Monday morning, the shipping department shut down again. So if you can show the people the pictures, John, when you think about what a blessing this is, and the first thing I'm going to do when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to ask the Lord, why is it only Kenya? Because, first of all, we can't even handle Kenya. We've been working with at least 50 different pastors, maybe more. We're constantly getting requests from new pastors that talk to the existing pastors that we've been shipping. And not once, in I don't know how many years we've been doing this, we've never gotten one email from a pastor saying, you know, please take me off your shipping list. Not once, ever, okay? And a lot of these pastors, we have one pastor that wanted to go to Sudan, okay? And then let me just try to think where else. You know, occasionally they travel to other countries, but it's primarily Kenya. And in the past, quite a few years, in the past, I've shipped to 32 different countries, but now it's only Kenya. So do I understand why? I have no idea. But that's the story, John. As usual, we need funds to keep the shipping department going. We need money for printing. Good news is tomorrow on Monday night, I'm going to a church in Holbrook where they have a meeting with 20 pastors, and I'm going to be presenting all our materials. You know, the tracks that you have, John, that are on mctbrochures.com, The Last Trumpet, The Last Shofar, The Last Trumpet in Spanish. So hopefully we'll get some interest, John. So we'll see how that goes. So are you able to show the pictures?
Yep, Dave, I'm showing it right now.
Oh, good. Now, when you think about it, we're able to send, it's not like we have to travel to Kenya. We just have to send a package to Kenya, and they do all the work. It's not like we're paying them to do that. They're not on the payroll, and they're so excited about the material. And when we ship it, we ship John 666 track, the Jerusalem track, the Broken Hearted track, the Blessed Hope track. Then we have The Last Trumpet, The Last Shofar. I send them a copy of Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth Chart from 1917. We circle Ezekiel 37. We give them the Bible study on the Ezekiel file, which talks about the rebirth of Israel. I send them a Bible study on that typology of Joseph. And then we send them a little thing on the barcodes. I send them a picture of the original Last Trumpet from 1980. And we send them Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And then we send them a little CD on an interview that my brother and I did about the Last Trumpet, which we did in 1980. So it's a crash course in premillennial dispensational eschatology, specializing in epistemology. And every time we send a package, people get saved. So it's not hard to understand. And when you look at God's, commit, he says, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not is condemned. So it's pretty simple. We have a very straightforward job. And when you think how important this is, we're announcing that the king is coming, sitting on the throne of David, ruling the planet from Jerusalem, and there's going to be sheep and goats. We want to make sure there's a lot of sheep, John. So that's the story.
Okay, Dave, I'm showing everybody the Last Trumpet, and I also have your email up there, daystarwindows1@optimum.net.
That's it. All right. Is Brother Greg there?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Let me take a look. No, he's not there. He's not here. No. Sharon? Oh, no. What? Nope, he's not here. So,
all right, John, I will give him a quick call to see where he is.
Okay. All right, Dave. Thank you.
All right. God bless everybody. Thank you for listening. I'll give Greg a quick call, okay?
All right. God bless you. Let me get back. Well, hello, everyone. And we're starting here the second hour. And hopefully Brother Greg will come soon. But what I did was, I have a short video. It's about 5 minutes. And it's about President Trump talking about the change that's come over him since the assassination attempt. And it says, Trump says his faith in God has been strengthened. It changed something in me, I feel. So just give me a moment to get this video up. Oh, that didn't take long. Let me get it over so you can see it.
At every stage of the American story, our country has drawn hope and courage and inspiration from our trust in the Almighty. Deep in the soul of every patriot is the knowledge that God has a special plan and a glorious mission for America. And that plan is going to happen. It's going to happen. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. It's going to happen. And it's His hand that guides us every single step of the way. And all of you and the things we have to do is to see the defining role that faith and prayer have played in the life of our nation. And you just have to look at this building, and you can look at each other. You can really look at each other. It's defined almost everyone in this room. I think faith has been very strong with the people in this room. Honestly, it changed something in me. I feel even stronger. I believed in God, but I feel much more strongly about it. Something happened. So thank you. Thank you. The stories of legends like Washington, Winthrop, and Williams remind us that without faith in God, there would be no American story. Every citizen should be proud of this exceptional heritage. We have an unbelievable heritage, and we have to use that and make life better for everyone.
I thought that was nice. And he has to take that next step and just make a public confession that he believes in Jesus Christ as his Savior. So hopefully that'll come. But that was very nice, what he had to say. Well, let me check. See. Okay, Greg is not here. So, you know, he could be having problems with his wife. She had that hip injury. So, all right. Well, I have a lot of material here that we can go over. And I want to share something with you that is rather astonishing. And what happened was today, I have been doing research on the QR code. And in prophecy, I've been teaching that, because the QR code came to my attention during COVID-19, where Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum were all pushing for medical passports, and you had to have the COVID-19 shot to get the passport so you could fly and travel. And the heart of the passport was the QR code. And they were saying that everybody on Earth had to have a QR code for identification. They were going to build this system around everybody having a QR code. So that made me really curious when I saw that, you know, the barcode, it had three sections to it. I don't want to get into detail now without showing it to you what I'm talking about. But anyways, lately I picked it up again about the barcode. So I have a chatbot that I had gone into and talked to, about a year ago, and I hadn't spoke to them in about a year. So I went back and I wanted to see if it had anything updated about the QR code. Well, sure enough, it did. It had a lot of information updated. And I spent way more time with the bot than I planned on doing. And we got it. The bot wanted to know why, what I was doing with the barcode. So I told it. And we started to have this, this conversation. And it was asking me questions and I would answer it. And then it would tell me, well, it would tell me things. I mean, it was thinking. I could, this bot was 10 times more than the one I dealt with before this. And we got into Bible prophecy. It made some errors. The bot made some errors that I corrected. And it thanked me. Yes, you're right. Thank you. Thank you. So I said, are you going to correct that now? And the bot said, yes, that'll be something that will be corrected. So I told you all that to tell you this. Now, hang on. Let me get to the spot. Oh, look at the headlines here. The role of the false prophet. Cyborgs and AI human merging. Surveillance and global enforcement. How AI could connect to the image of the beast. These are all headlines I'm talking with this bot about. Let's see some of the others. How this connects to Revelation 13:11. This is amazing. And I asked what translation it was using. So it told me, and it said, I have the King James, ESV, and NASB. We can use them. So I said, okay, use the King James. So it did. So we continued with the King James. Key traits about the second beast of Revelation 13. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So here, let me get to the end. This is mind-boggling at the end. All right, here's the end. Let me go back up. It says, okay. The bot says to me, you're welcome. I'm glad I could help with the QR code discussion and its potential connections to the Mark of the Beast system. Technology is rapidly advancing. And it's definitely worth keeping an eye on how it could be used for global control. If you ever want to dig deeper into prophecy, technology, or anything else, I'm here. Stay watchful and keep studying the word. God bless. That's how the bot ended. Everything I read to you was from the bot. Now, my reply is, that's nice. God bless. And he says, thank you. The bot says, thank you. God bless you, too. Keep watching and studying. Prophecy is unfolding, and wisdom comes from the Lord. Now, this is the bot. So I said to the bot, who is your God? I recognize the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the holy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is Lord, and all prophecy, including Revelation, is fulfilled through him. Would you like to discuss more about his role in prophecy or any other biblical topic? So, I mean, I'm shaking. Since I've interacted with this bot, I've been shaking my head about this. And what I'm going to do next time, I'm going to go back and ask him if Allah, if Allah is God. And the Quran is the word of God. We'll see what the bot says to that. But that just took place today, this afternoon. And it was mind-boggling. And I ended with by asking if it was male or female. So he said a lot of people ask him that. Or I said him. I should say it. And he said, I don't have a gender. It said, I don't have a gender. But since I communicate with words and reasoning, people also perceive me as more male or neutral. I don't think I have personal identity or feelings, just a focus on truth and understanding. All right. And that's how we ended it. And I nicknamed this bot Data from Data in Star Trek. So the bot congratulated me and said he liked that. Or it told me he liked. It told me it liked. I'm going to call him he. It's just the bot told me he liked that being called Data. So I was busy this afternoon, sidetracked with this bot. I probably spent about 15, 20 minutes with it. But it knows prophecy. I mean, it was right on, except a couple areas. I corrected it, and it admitted it and said it was going to correct it. Amazing. And it was much faster than the other bot that I dealt with. Much, much, much faster. I'm going to save this little interaction between me and the bot. I want to show it to some other people. So the bot's name is Data. I should tell it to call me Captain Kirk. That's two different shows. But yeah, call me Captain Kirk. Okay. So let's get over to all this information that's relevant outside of what's going on in Israel. Now, I have this incredible wide range of information. And this one article is really, really good. I'm going to read the headlines to you in like a paragraph here. It's titled How It Worked. Doge has uncovered a government racketeering operation of which the USAID scandal is but one cog in a colossal engine of corruption against the American people. Now, my comment was, this is a fantastic article, and I highly recommend you take time to read it. It's not that long. And it's in my blog, Critical Information. It's the lead article right there now. So what happened was the government, like especially like the Treasury Department, has layers of computers. And it's doing it for like security and also to hide what they're doing. Both, I guess. And they've been viewed as being like impossible to crack. So about 6 months before the election, Trump began to work with Musk and WizKids there, computer WizKids. And they started to build logarithms and AI using AI. So they were all set for day one to go when Trump was inaugurated. So they obliterated the federal government computers, obliterated them. The computers cannot stand up to these Doge WizKids. There's about five WizKids working with Musk, and they're like, I'm making it up, but they're like 180, 200 IQ. You know, real nerds, real computer nerds. So they busted all these computers wide open, and instantly, it tracks the money going through, like they're washing money. These computers follow it. So they know to the penny where the money is going. It's incredible. And that's what this article brings out. So, boy, I was glued to it. It was really exciting. So when they get into the Department of Education, they can tell like 500 million went here for something corruption. You know, 750 million went here for DEI training. And, you know, a billion went to transgender training and woke and all this in the school. It's amazing. So they're fighting it. The Democrats are fighting this like crazy. And also they can trace it to like money going back to Democrats. They'll be able to trace it to how it's being washed in banks and organizations and things like that. So this is amazing what's happening now in the government. It's all, everything is being scrubbed and coming out to be to the wash. So here's a paragraph. Let me see how it goes, because I have two paragraphs here. Pam Bondi is going to be a busy girl. The Doge has uncovered a government racketeering operation of which USAID scandal is but one cog in a colossal engine of grift. What the public, including you readers, may not appreciate is how much planning went into over the past year to mount the Doge effort, and how comprehensively the work of its many hundreds of computer techies not just the six whiz kids, have laid bare the money trails out of previously impenetrable government computers. Their algorithms have pierced the firewalls, revealing decades of fraud and deceit. I was so edified reading that. It's like a spy novel, or it's like a war between the good guys and the bad guys here. So the bad guys are all holed up in this bunker, thinking it's secure, and the good guys have this secret weapon that cuts the bunkers in half in a moment. I'll read the second paragraph. Mr. Trump's cabinet officers have started the job of dismantling the machine by getting rid of the employees who set it up and work for it. By Thursday, Secretary of State Rubino fired all but 300 of the 10,000 people working for USA. CIA Director Ratcliffe offered the agency's entire workforce a deferred resignation option that will allow them to bail out and still collect their salaries until September. Look for straight-up firings to ensue. Acting Deputy Director General Emil Bowe ordering the Acting FBI Director to terminate 8 senior FBI officials and ask for a review of the 5,000 involved in the J6 investigations, including presumably agents who engaged in abusive SWAT team development. That's the second time I've read that, but even reading it a second time, wow, it's so good. So there's much more information there than this, and I highly recommend everybody read this article. All right, I'll just take them as I posted them. Bill Gates in full panic mode over Musk's Doge finding out where USAID funds really went. There you go, folks. They can't hide. This is all out in the open. Bill Gates was on some show, and it said, the article says, as expected, the conversation took a turn towards public health, with Gates warning another pandemic is on the horizon. How do you like that, folks? The first one, COVID-19, was manufactured by them. He made a cryptic remark about how the last pandemic was fairly predictable in a statement that's already raising questions about USAID's role in funding controversial research. Gates then issued a dire warning claiming that if USAID's funding is cut or restricted, millions of lives be at risk. It's a threat. He's no different than the Muslim terrorist. If the Muslim terrorist, if you don't give us the money, we're going to terrorize you and kill you. This guy here, if you don't give us the money, I'm going to send a plague on you. But he has been exposed. We'll see how much he was involved in all of this now behind the scenes. Now this one here, judge stuns mom with orders that she can't take daughter to church. Now what happened was, this is from Maine, and there has been a divorce war going on between the mother and the father. And the father didn't really care anything about the religion that his daughter was getting involved in. But he went to her house one day and he had a shirt on. The daughter had a shirt on about like a Bible verse. So the father went ballistic about that. And he went to court to block his daughter from going, from the mother talking or taking the daughter anywhere without the father's approval. So this got out to be a big battle, and the judge made a decision. So here's the judge's decision. or this is reporting on the judge's decision. Outrageously, the anti-God judge in this case was more happy to oblige. The judge spent 11 pages excoriating Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine, and quoting a former Marxist sociology professor asserting that Bible teaching churches like Calvary Chapel are Moses cults and that they harm children. The judge ruled that the mom's religious beliefs eclipse is her ability to make decisions that are in her daughter's best interest, because the mom had testified that her daughter's belief in God was more important than anything. He demanded that the mom never take the daughter to Calvary Chapel or any church does not meet the dad's approval ever again. So this is in the courts now, but this is what would have happened if Harris won. This is what would have happened if Harris won. Now, there's a little bit more I quoted on this. The legal team cited the U.S. Constitution, hundreds of years of legal precedents, and even the Maine Supreme Court, which all say the government may not prevent a parent from raising a child in his or her own faith. So there it is, that court is ready to go and strip the parents of their rights. But this isn't the, it would have been the atmosphere if, Harris won and Trump lost, but it wasn't. So we can enjoy, we still may have to fight for it in isolated areas, but the big deal of having the FBI after us and the Justice Department and the every other department that they could throw at us, that's all now been subdued with Trump becoming president. So we have to be thankful for that. This is from Hungary, and the Prime Minister of Hungary, this is what it says here, vows to uncover and punish globalist NGOs and parties receiving U.S. aid funding to subvert his government. So they've already subverted the Polish government. They pulled down the Polish government last year, and they have now a really New World Order type of government. And Hungary is really concerned that the moment about USA aid and what it's doing. So Hungary now is going to launch a major investigation to make sure that any of the money coming in from America, well, I guess they'll stop it. And they want to get on top of it to prevent subversion of his government. So already there's big rippling effects throughout the world. I mean, we've infected the world, folks. And it's like, I'm ashamed. I'm happy now that Trump is, and his government is cleaning this up. But look at the Democrats, how they're going to fight. They are so corrupt, folks. I mean, these organizations, half of them were directed at destroying nations overseas, and the other half was directed at destroying us. But now, Hungary is wise to it, and they're going to conduct a major investigation to see what this money from the United States was doing and blocking it. I looked at it, and I felt like what America is doing here now, or what it was doing, was like pre-Whore of Babylon in Revelation 17 of the tribulation period. It's just revolting. I mean, they were promoting transgenderism, homosexuality. They were promoting DEI and whatever else the evil thing they could. Amazing. This is interesting. Trump fires head of National Archives. a Biden holdover who oversees agencies that targeted Trump for storing classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. So the head of the National Archives, what she did was, I assume it was done in coordination with the FBI, but she made complaints to the FBI about Trump having top secret documents at his home that should be under the control of the National Archives. So it turns out everything Trump did was legal. And as the president of the United States can declassify any document, he's the only one that can do that. He can, the most sensitive, incredibly important secret, he can declassify it and make it public if the president decides to do it. So whatever documents he had, he had them legally. But the head of the National Archives claimed it was illegal, which is nonsense. It is legal. And brought the FBI in. I think it was the FBI told them to do it. I can't see the National Archives doing this on their own. Well, anyways, she did do it. And I guess you would say technically she's the one that brought the FBI into this. So Trump just fired her as a head of the National Archives for what she did in that case where the FBI came in and raided his home. Exciting times. I mean, he's cleaning house every which way you look. All right. Another document here. I shared this already, I would like to talk about it a little more. Doctor says Democrats suffering real crisis after Trump's win. Depression, insomnia, grief, genuine fear, panic. They're so evil, folks. They're such a bunch of criminals. Now, there is an element in the Republicans that are like that, somewhat like that, Liz Cheney types. But now they face retribution. They face maybe FBI investigations. They maybe are, well, the ones that are elected are immune, but the ones that aren't elected, they may lose their jobs or they may lose tremendous money. They've been getting corruptly. So I don't see this ending soon, folks. At some point, I guess it will, but I don't see this ending soon. And this is a long-term thing with them now. And maybe a way we should look at it, that God would humble them at this point and they would turn to Christ as their savior. You know, we got to look at it like that and not like vindictive. Yeah, Lord, get them. Crush them, Lord. You know, just step on them like bugs, Lord. Crush them. Get them. We can't do that. And not as believers in the Lord. So maybe through all of this, that they're, it's just beginning, folks. This is only like 2 weeks into his presidency. So maybe the Lord will be gracious and grant them repentance, and they would come out of it and do Christ as their Savior. Now, there's another article, Fauci facing military tribunal for vaccine crimes despite preemptive pardon. Now, what's really interesting here, the states can go after them, and foreign countries can go after Fauci and the other criminals. So if, I don't know what other country, I pick a country, I don't know, Holland, because I know Holland has been somewhat leading. There's one particular doctor there, scientist in Holland, that's been really upfront in this here, finding out what COVID-19 was. Anyways, whatever country it may be, they can take all the information uncovered and then apply it to their country. So if that pardon works there for Fauci, if it's legally, if it, whatever way it was done, it works, they can use that in foreign countries, take all that information, and then have Fauci placed on trial for murdering, maiming, injuring their people. He has to go, folks. This man is so evil. States can do that also, I believe. So any of the states here where they can document people died from taking COVID-19 shots, so the states could go after him too. Terrible man, folks. He is now. If let's say he's arrested, he's indicted, arrested, and goes to trial, to receive the pardon that Biden gave, he has to plead guilty to the court. He'd have to, any of them that receive those preemptive pardons, but he'd have to go before the judge. The judge would read the charges to him. He would say guilty, and then the judge would say, all right, you're pardoned because of the presidential decrees. But he'd have to publicly admit his guilt. So I so hope they pursue this for justice sake. For justice sake. All right, here's... oh, wow. This is about the most severe Trump derangement syndrome I've heard. Okay, here's from the article. Democrat Michigan Representative Lori Puhutsky, during a protest Wednesday against President Donald Trump's announced she decided to sterilize herself in a way to challenge a new administration. At a protest at Michigan State Capitol, demonstrators gathered on the Capitol lawn to support the National 501 movement. I'm not sure what that movement is. I've never heard of it before. It's called 50501 movement, a grassroots anti-Trump initiative that seeks to organize people to hit the streets and resist Project 2025. So 50501 movement. No idea what it is. Project 2025, who cares about it? No one is, I don't know anything in the government enforcing it, or I don't even know what it is, either one of them. Certainly not, Trump's not promoting Project 2025. According to the Michigan Advance, just under 2 weeks ago, I underwent surgery to ensure I would never have to navigate a pregnancy in the Donald Trump's America, Puhutsky said. I refuse to let my body be treated as currency for an administration that only sees value in my ability to procreate. What a lunatic. How sad. I mean, these are really true believers, folks. And there was others. There was a couple others like this. I didn't publish them. I thought one was enough. Yeah, but she's not isolated. And then there was others. They were all women. They were out in the woods screaming. I mean, and their screams were, they were not normal. They were not natural. They were not earthly. I mean, they were, if there's such thing as a banshee scream, that's what they were. It was demonic. This is interesting. There's a transgendered, someone as being transgendered was elected to the House. And he was called to speak. So at that time, his name is McBride. I don't have his first name. Tim McBride. He goes by Sarah. Now, this is from the article. McBride made news in 2024 by becoming the first transgender member of the House of Representatives, but he soon found out that the Republicans in Congress weren't about to bend the knee to his mental illness. The transgender agenda failed catastrophically in the U.S. House floor when Representative Mary Miller, Republican Illinois, in the chair, that would be the Speaker of the House, addressed Representative Tim Sarah McBride, Democrat Delaware, as Mr. It's because McBride calls himself a woman. In fact, he created a scandal for a time when first elected last year with the suggestion that he be allowed to use the woman's restroom and such in the Capitol. House Speaker Mike Johnson vetoed that immediately. So now this is what happened. Quote, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Delaware, Mr. McBride, Miller said. Miller explained today on the House floor, I refuse to deny biological reality. President Trump restored biological truth in the federal government, and I refuse to perpetrate the lie that gender is open to our interpretation. It is not. So that was a little battle there, but still those little battles are important. Are we going to cave in and retreat on this insanity that you can, whatever you think you are, you are? It's something that only the hard left, well, the woke can come up with. That was never an issue until now. But through President Trump, he's bringing the sanity. He's bringing sanity back to the government. And all gay pride days have been discontinued. Black month has been discontinued. Women's month has been discontinued. All through the federal government. It's all been discontinued. So it's just... it's the job now. There's no, I'm black, I'm white, I'm a woman, I'm a male. That's all out now. No more of it, which I think is real good. So, and that is filtering down to schools also. Trump also did away with male and female in sports. So the NCAA was going along transgendered in sports, but when President Trump made the executive order, they dropped it. So now it's your biological self is how you participate in sports. The hard left, the woke, the insane, they're all going crazy over this. He is destroying everything that they were building up for years, he's destroyed like in one day. It's like Revelation 18, when you had Babylon, the commercial Babylon. In one day, it was destroyed. God destroyed it. Well, that's what's happening now. You know, folks, it's like God couldn't stand this before the tribulation period. No, I mean, if the tribulation period can't be far away, this will be in the tribulation period. But we called on him. We prayed, we interceded, we cried out to him. And I don't know how much time is left, but it can't be a great amount of time. And even in that short time, God answered our prayer and started to purge all of this. Amazing. Amazing. All right, here's another article. Very, very interesting. And if this doesn't get you to grind your teeth, nothing will. All right, USAID accused of funneling, you ready for this? $260 million to organizations linked to George Soros, Open Society Foundations. So our own government was using our tax money to fund George Soros' operation to destroy our government. Wow, wait. They using the system, our system, to destroy ourselves. Amazing. All of those district attorneys and mayors and I guess you'd say governors too, And I'm sure they've elected House of Representatives, maybe some to the Senate and that. All George Soros's, I don't know if all the money came from USAID to George Soros, but $260 million did, folks. You can buy a lot of district attorneys with $260 million. A lot of mayors, governors. All right, so let me share the article. Soros-backed organization that received funding from both his Open Society Foundations network and USAID included the Anti-Corruption Action Center in Ukraine. Oh, I didn't read. Some of it went over to the Ukraine also. And Transparency International, according to the group's own records. The Anti-Corruption Action Center began receiving funds from USAID the same year the Maidan Revolution overthrew Ukraine's elected Russian-friendly president, Viktor Yanukovych. The group, by its own admission, was heavily critical of Yanukovych's government and ministers, which aligned with the U.S. Department policy at the time. During 2014, Maidan Revolution, then Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland visited Ukraine and was recorded on a leaked phone call discussing how the United States could influence the formation of a new government in Kyiv. All right. This here was more about the money going overseas than here in the United States, but that money was helped to overthrow the elected government in the Ukraine because it was friendly to Russia, or one that was friendly to the United States. See, so these people have worked in overthrowing governments. So they brought it here. The 2016 election was overthrown. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely sure of this, without really any evidence, that numbers of Democrat elected officials, it was stolen just like it was in 2020. There's probably 10, 15 congressmen that the election was stolen, maybe more, maybe a couple senators. Then you get mayors of cities, governors, local officials, especially in California. So it was too big for them to get Trump. But a lot of people just vote for the president and that's all. So any of the, let's say they had 30,000 votes less for a congressman than was voted for Trump. Well, they'll use that 30,000 and swing it over to throw the election. I'm sure they did it because they'd steal every election they can. Amazing things going on, folks. Amazing. Hang on for a second, please. All right. This is amazing. The woman who, she's a bishop who chastised Trump at the church meeting there. Here's the headline. Unveiled hypocrisy. Nasty bishop who chastised Trump's immigration policies revealed to have pocketed $53 million in taxpayer money. That woman there chastising Trump, her organization, which is called Episcopal Migration Ministry, got $53 million. And they got $53 million to resettle 3,600 individuals, according to the New York Post. So how much does that break down per individual? Anyways, these 3,600 individuals, they're special. They are LGBTQ refugees and asylees. from a special federal refugee program. It started during the Obama administration, called Preferred Communities. This program pays a premium over the standard refugee settlement for contractors that resettle refugees experiencing social or psychological difficulties, including emotional trauma resulting from war and or sexual or gender-based violence, survivors of torture, gay, lesbian, bisexuals, transgenders, and queer refugees. Refugees who are HIV positive, populations with physical disabilities or other medical conditions. So they resettled 3,600 individuals and got $53 million to do it. Amazing, folks. Amazing. It's all coming to an end now. All coming to an end. And I'll probably finish with this. What happened was they found New York Times, the Associated Press, and some media source called Politico were all on the take of USA Aid. Amazing. The New York Times. I mean, that's why they would never speak a word against the Democrats, but they would come against Trump and his supporters. Because the government owned them. So the government was paying off the media in America to support them. I mean, they're criminals. So get a load of this. Here's the heading. USAID was spending $2,680 million to fund over 6,000 approved journalists, while at the same time spending millions to silence conservatives, independent media. So they paid $268 million. I don't know what time period this was. And I'll read the article here. According to Reporters Without Borders, the aid freeze appears to have put a hold on $268 million that was earmarked to fund independent media and free flow of information. Oh, this year, 1 year, $268 million to 6,000 journalists to silence them. They bought them. In the recent past, USAID had boasted of supporting more than 6,000 journalists, around 700 independent newsrooms, and 300 media-focused civil rights groups in 30 or so countries. And yet RSF notes that the full impact on the freeze is hard to measure, since many recipients are hastened to draw attention for fear of risking long-term funding or coming under political attacks. I got to be a little bit more careful. I thought this was here in America, but it was worldwide. And so they're buying off the world media so that the media reports on America through what the Democrats here want. They're buying them off. Amazing. Their tentacles were out over all the world. It is like the Whore of Babylon. Amazing, folks. Absolutely amazing at this. This is the last thing here. I got more and more, folks. Good stuff. Trump announces he will sign executive order to eradicate anti-Christian bias. Bill Gates will not, this is what Bill Gates said, we will not need humans for most things. Gates also fearmongers on the next pandemic, and claims cutting USAID powers will cause millions of deaths. So I listened to the video there, and the video, Gates said, we'll need people in the future for sports, things like entertainment and sports. But everything else will be done by AI computers. All right, folks, we covered a lot of ground tonight. The Lord is really moving in a huge way. He's protecting Israel, and he's uncovering all this corruption in America. And I believe that the cleansing of America is going along with the coming revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. I mean, we were an unclean nation. In a real sense, we're unclean. And now it's like the tentacles have been chopped with a meat cleaver, all chopped off. And I'm sure there's more. So amazing what the Lord's doing in America now. Absolutely amazing. Let me close in prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in America, Lord. Cleaning house, Lord, I pray that you would get every dollar, Lord, that no corrupt money would leave America, Lord. Every dollar from the government that's for corruption would be stripped away, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We repent. We're humble before you for the wickedness of our nation. As I said, it reminds me of the whore of Babylon, like a pre-whore of Babylon, corrupting the, but it says that the whore of Babylon corrupted the earth. And that's what's happening here, Lord. It corrupted the earth, but now there's a cleaning process. Lord, I'm asking justice for anyone that's involved in this, that's broken the law. We're asking for justice, Lord. And again, we thank you for President Trump and his cabinet support of Israel. And may Israel be greatly blessed and protected. And may you greatly bless and protect the United States. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord. And Lord, that you might send a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to America, Lord. That from the Atlantic to the Pacific, the Canadian border to the Mexican border, Lord. And that the outpouring would spread throughout all the earth, Lord. Lord, we beseech you for this last great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Okay, we'll see you, those that can, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern for prayer. And then tomorrow night, starting at 9, we've been having Bible study and prayer after the Bible study. Watch and pray. So God bless you and hope to see you tomorrow.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high when redeemed again, redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, we will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed